This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Rescuers warn time is running out to find survivors in Syria and Turkey as the earthquake death toll passes 9,000. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Yes, the Turkish President Erdogan has just arrived at the epicenter of Monday's disaster, where he's giving a press conference as rescue efforts continue in freezing conditions. The damage to infrastructure is becoming clearer too. Turkey's energy minister has confirmed the earthquakes caused severe damage to the country's natural gas and electricity grids. And a major port on the Mediterranean coast, Iskenderun, has suffered severe damage after a fire broke out. Enes Tunagar is from Lloyd's Maritime Intelligence.
400 ships arrive at that port each month. It's one of the biggest in the country, and there's structural damage. I mean, there are other ports in the area, luckily, but still, that port was needed at this point in time because it's the closest one.
Closest one for getting aid there. Well, for more on the aid efforts, we turn to a familiar voice on this programme. Victoria Craig, longtime host of this show and now a reporter in Turkey, sent us this report from Ankara.
In times of great hardship, sometimes it's the most basic things that bring a community and a country together.
I also have family that live in the region. They're good, thank God, but it was very stressful.
Ella is a fourth-year university engineering student who spent her day volunteering at this makeshift emergency supply distribution center set up in the Turkish capital.
Right now there are operations like this in many different large depots and places.
It might seem like here, chaos reigns. But once your eyes and ears adjust to the hive of activity, you see order in the mayhem. Ella is helping to form a human chain. With her are students from nearby universities. Their arms move in perfect sync, passing heavy boxes of canned foods, bags of blankets, and parcels of other critical supplies down to waiting trucks outside. Meanwhile, a few miles away in the very center of the city, hundreds of people have lined up over 2 days to make donations of their own. Many, including these men, have waited hours in freezing temperatures to give blood.
What motivated me here is that, you know, I believe in only in one thing. It is humanity. And now, we people are suffering.
They need blood. And that's like only thing I can do. I'm going to donate some of my clothes. I'm a medical student. Many of my professor went there to help them. That's all I can do.
It's not just Turkish communities donating blood or food or resources. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said in a speech on Tuesday, 70 countries and 14 international aid organizations have all sent their assistance to the search and rescue and relief missions too. Meanwhile, back at the supply distribution center in the nation's capital, the man helping to oversee this operation tells me this was all born out of a social media call-out for volunteers. The students, he says, took it and ran. And in less than 2 days, they've loaded 47 trucks, about half of which were packed with water alone. The rest have carried a mix of donated supplies from this community, including 340,000 loaves of bread. In Ankara, Turkey, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Well, let's check in on the numbers then. More bumper energy profits this morning in Europe. They're driving stock exchanges higher too. Norwegian energy firm Equinor gained 6.1% following a record $74.9 billion profit for 2022. France's Total, yep, you guessed it, record profits as well in excess of $20 billion. And in Germany, the gas firm Linde was a 2.4% riser on Frankfurt's DAX after its strong results. Shares in London, Paris, Frankfurt all up between 0.6% and 0.8%. McDonald's has signed a legal agreement with the UK watchdog, the Equality and Human Rights Commission, in response to concerns about its handling of sexual harassment complaints by staff here in the UK. The BBC's Zoe Conway has more.
It's not clear how many current complaints of sexual harassment made by UK workers at McDonald's there are, but 4 years ago, the union representing company employees, the BFAWU, said it had received 1,000 complaints. The law firm Thompson's, which took on some of the cases, says they were settled with a confidentiality clause at McDonald's' insistence. The Equality and Human Rights Commission says it will monitor the company's sexual harassment policies under this legally binding agreement and says it has the power to launch an investigation if it sees potential breaches of the law. McDonald's says it's important everyone in the organisation feels safe, respected and included, and says it welcomes the opportunity to work with the EHRC to further strengthen its policies.
That's the BBC's Zoe Conway there. Now, think you're having a bad week? Well, someone seems to be having a worse one than you. In Spain, questions being asked, fingers pointed, after the country spent more than $250 million on 30 trains that didn't fit through the tunnels and were too wide for the tracks. Paul Moss takes up that tale.
I think it's the kind of mistake that all of us have made. You know, I'm sure you do something like maybe go, you know, measure a space on the wall, perhaps go out to buy a new shelf. You come back with a shelf, you try and put it up and whoops, it seems the tape measure slipped or something and the shelf doesn't fit. That's basically what happened at Spanish Railways, albeit on a rather different scale. The northern part of the country, particularly the regions of Asturias and Cantabria, needed new trains. 30 were commissioned. But as the Spanish government rather euphemistically put it, there was a breakdown in the transfer of gauge data. To put it more simply, the trains are too wide for the tunnels which they have to go through. The president of the Cantabria region, which was where the trains were supposed to go, he was a little more forthright. Miguel Ángel Revilla said this was a monumentally botched job. He asked how it could happen in a modern country, and he said he wanted to be sure they found who was responsible and to make sure they were punished. He said he wanted heads to roll. And that has happened. Two managers have been sacked, but the Spanish government's promising a full inquiry. The trouble is that this affair involves the Ministry of Transport, the body which is responsible for railway tracks, ADIF, the one that's in charge of trains, Renfe, and the company which made the trains. So I suspect we're going to see quite a lot of buck passing.
Shelves, sizes, measurements. Nope, yeah, I do feel their pain. Thanks from our team here, from James and Matthew, for you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.